Let us pray. We long for news that is good, O God, good for this earth, good for our hearts, good for communities. Teach us to listen for your good news about those ways you have set before us, exemplified for us, and called forth from us. In Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. It's good to be here with you again, although 7 years seems to have gone mighty fast. Earlier stories in Luke relate how Mary and Joseph observed Jewish customs. They were a Jewish family, after all. Today's reading from the Gospel affirms that Jesus honors those traditions. It was the custom in the Jewish synagogues of the first century to ask a visiting rabbi to teach from the scriptures. After making an initial tour of Galilee, Jesus went to worship on the Sabbath by going to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. He stands to read the scripture and he sits to speak, as was the custom of the rabbis. One copy of the Isaiah scroll from this time is almost 7 meters or 24 feet long. Can you imagine unrolling that to find the place where you were going to read and then rolling it up as you were reading? Much more than simply opening a book. It was very serious business to read the lessons. What did Jesus teach about God's way? I'm going to have a throat tickle, so here go the halls. He was asked, or was assigned a passage of scripture to read and interpret. His interpretation was not always what the audience wanted to hear. Jesus had a peculiar knack of getting himself into trouble. He begins his teaching by reading a passage from the prophet Isaiah, which was to become the model for his ministry. We do not know if his choice was his or if it was a designated reading for that particular Sabbath. It's unclear whether there was a set cycle of readings from the prophets in this era, similar to what we do today with a 3-year lectionary cycle. He read that passage from Isaiah and could have said something innocuous like, "I've got some thoughts arising from this passage that I'd like to share with you." Instead, he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, I'm the guy that Isaiah was talking about. Jesus wasn't speaking in vague terms about some nice idea put down in scripture years ago. He was bringing the scripture home to them, up close and personal. Even that is somewhat acceptable until he goes on to tell the folks that it's foreign widows and lepers that will receive God's gifts, not the good and proper folks here in the synagogue. If it was the designated text, at the very least, Jesus invites us to wonder about what he means by saying these words are fulfilled in your hearing. But if Jesus chose this passage, there are other implications to consider. The year of God's favor, at the end of these words from Isaiah, refers to Israel's tradition of Jubilee. Have you heard of Jubilee? And what that might mean, Jubilee? A new term. Leviticus 25 describes the elements of Jubilee. It was to be observed every 50 years. Jubilee called for the return of all lands to their original owners. It provided for the freedom of indentured servants. However, there is no evidence that Israel ever fully kept a year of Jubilee. Yet it remained a promise and a hope. Now, in Luke's account, Jesus begins his public ministry by announcing, after this reading from Isaiah, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Everyone thought, has Jubilee come at last? What is the Gospel of Luke saying about Jesus in this story? Jesus lifts up a passage that begins by referring to the Spirit of God who anointed me. The literal meaning of Christ is anointed one. Most of the times you hear Jesus Christ as if it was a full name, but the technical term would be Jesus the Christ. It's a title. Isaiah's reading speaks of the ways of God in terms closely associated with Luke's whole portrayal of the ministry and teachings of Jesus throughout the whole book. In its structure, Luke focuses the attention on the central message of the prophet Isaiah. The first two verses set the stage for Jesus' message by announcing that the power of the Spirit is upon him, and that everyone was praising his teaching. The final verse creates a sense of completion. Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This frames Jesus' reading of Isaiah and Isaiah's claim that the Spirit is upon him. Isaiah claims to be anointed, to be bringing good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, and proclaim the year of God's favor, or Jubilee. Those gathered were surely expecting Jesus to speak a bit more, to expand on what he was saying, as previous rabbis would have done, but he did not. Instead, he simply states that the scriptures fulfilled in their hearing. He wasn't concerned with just one group of people. He was beginning to realize who God's people were, and that the notion of being chosen above others was foolish. He was called, sanctified, and ordained into ministry to people, all people. To read these words aloud before your own relatives in your hometown required much courage. Jesus' announcement says that they can no longer see him simply as a village carpenter or as Mary and Joseph's boy. You know, the one that caused all that trouble when he was little. He is the one that they have been waiting to come all of their lives, their grandparents' lives, and the generations before them. The carpenter's son is the Messiah. No wonder the crowd is stunned. It's hard to hear Jesus' announcement as more than aspirational because we are many centuries past this proclamation, and we still see in the world around us the hardships forced on the poor and oppressed. And we still see those held captive by addiction, prejudice, custom, and violence. So many wrongs have not yet been made right. Yet as people of hope and faith, we believe that Jesus fulfills this proclamation and still calls us to join this work of making God's justice and love visible. As people of faith, let us not hear Luke as the not yet realized description of Jesus' mission, But as the work that God sets before all of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus. The readings this week remind us that God's word and God's law are a gift that forms us as God's people, shapes our communities, and unifies us. This joins our lives with the hopeful future of God. God's word offers fullness of life. In the season after the Epiphany, we look for signs of God at work among us. In the baptism of Jesus, God shows up in affirmation and encouragement. In the wedding at Cana, God shows up in abundance. Just happens to be in the form of wine, but that's okay. In the synagogue in Nazareth, God shows up in newness and change. Might there be places where God is showing you newness and change? Jesus proclaims a spirit-led mission. Having a look at the list of outreach activities that Appleby United participates in provides a great opportunity to see how the ministry supported by your congregation help change lives. I'm going to go over them. These are all found on your webpage, although I have been told of one or two that are not continued, but I beg your pardon if I may mention one that may not still be ongoing. Locally, you support the work of caring for the marginalized in downtown Hamilton by strongly supporting Wesley Urban Ministries. Through the Christmas and Holiday Store, Share the Warmth Project, and the Case for Kids annual walk and ride. You assist with The Rock, Outreach Center for Kids, summer programs, knitting groups, provision of food and clothing, providing used furniture and occasional meals for the teens. You support our Community Cares monthly Friday men's breakfast by supporting the Burlington Food Bank, initiated and support the Bill Shackleton Place, a rent geared to income housing development. Partnered with Wellington Square to support a former refugee family of Syrians as they became settled into their new home. You provide food, support, and socialization opportunity for seniors at a monthly lunch, done in an ecumenical partnership with other denominations. And have rummage sales. How many lives have been changed by this assistance? I think it would be very difficult to put an exact number on it. I am sure that many, many have been influenced by these acts of generosity and kindness. Globally, you provide funds to the educational sponsorship program for students living in the Meridun Mountains of Guatemala. Help fund the supply of bed kits to children in need in underdeveloped and developing countries. You know it as Sleeping Children Around the World. It's been around quite a few years. I should have said this first. I supported this when I was in CGIT. That goes back a little ways. And you support the Kiva Project. I was very interested to read that your Kiva for Christmas program this year, a total of just over $1,700 was raised, enough to make 50 loans of $25 each to deserving entrepreneurs around the world. Hopefully you did a few in Canada too. Kiva is a project near and dear to my own heart. I always suggest to our kids that we really don't need any presents at Christmas time. But if you would like to gift something to charity in our name, we would greatly appreciate that. So every year we get some money that I can choose which entrepreneurs to give it to. And I love doing that. And I love getting the reports back. You've been paid back $1.60 from your loan. That's a lot of money to many, many people. A lot of money. All of this outreach is but a snippet of following your mission statement and vision. Walking with Jesus, we comfort the sick, feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, engage others in conversation about God, seek justice and resist evil, gather to worship God. And your vision, planting seeds, nurturing faith, hope, compassion, and justice. How might your congregation explore new understandings and practices of outreach and service commissioned by the Spirit? Something to think about on these cold winter days. The reading from Nehemiah and the verses that Jesus reads from Isaiah encourage us to continue to shape our communities of faith with a concern for the most vulnerable, regardless of their faith, color, or gender. It reminds us that the gospel message is not just about individual faith, but about a shared commitment to shape our world with an eye to restorative justice. We have been appointed to fulfill this scripture again, for the building up of all. When we do this, we are truly one body, and not just individual members, as Corinthians reminds us. Because we are loved by God, gifted by God, blessed by God for ministry. All of us. All of us. May it be so. Amen.